It is an amazing Friday. As promised, we've got W Talk on Tracks right now happening in the studio of Tracks FM. And we are currently speaking to Ms. Shireen Azli, the Chief Executive Officer of the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Sophia, for having us today.
And it's an absolute pleasure to speak to you because you obviously are a very great icon when it comes to women power. Now, recently, you recently joined as one of the 50 women recognized and lauded as outstanding women in healthcare at the World Health and Wellness Congress 2017 in Mumbai, India. How does that feel?
I must say that personally was very surprised with the award,
right.
But very excited, more so for the people who have been in with me in the healthcare industry.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, just a little bit of background. I only joined the healthcare industry in 2015.
Mm. Well, that's not too long ago.
Yeah, yeah. Before that, I was actually
Wow. I mean, just 2 years and you've been, a lot of recognition for what you're doing. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a surprise that I talked to you about, you know, but this is actually, the credit goes to the team because obviously, you know, to be as out there as outstanding, you need to have a very strong support.
Definitely.
And I think, yeah, that the team has done a great job in in building this together with me. That's the team in Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council.
Right. Now, being in the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council, MHTC, under the Ministry of Health Malaysia, and you being the CEO yourself, you are entrusted with the task of positioning Malaysia as a preferred destination for world-class healthcare services. So this is definitely a huge role as Malaysia is heading towards a more tourism-friendly country and whatnot. So is it a lot of work that goes behind it? When you can go bring us through your week, does it involve you going a lot of places, talking to a lot of agencies?
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I want to know, how is your lifestyle like as a CEO, as a power woman, also a mother and a wife and definitely a career woman? Do enlighten us.
You know, there's a lot of there are a lot of questions in that one long question. So maybe just just to share a little bit background wise, you know, I came from non-healthcare industry.
Right.
So, you know, I was from telecom industry before. And one of the things that I found very challenging, before I joined Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council, I myself, as the, you know, ordinary Malaysians, was not aware that Malaysia is indeed a medical travel destination.
Right.
So from that angle, you can imagine the task at hand when you're trying to come into an organization.
Mm.
We're supposed to lead it and bring Malaysia to the next level.
Yeah.
And introduce Malaysia as the destination for medical travel of choice to the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, for me, it was indeed a very big task. And as you mentioned, you know, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I have two kids, and they are growing. And that was a big consideration for me before I actually said yes.
I mean, just going through the list of what you have to do and your aspirations and your KPIs, pretty much, that's a really huge responsibility to have on your shoulders. So how do you actually manage that expectations going through it and making sure that, you know, you're leading your team towards the right direction? As yourself, you have to have a very strong persona to make sure that you don't, you know, stray or feel like, oh, pressured or whatnot. So how do you keep yourself motivated and in line with your mission?
The first thing that I did was actually to first evaluate, you know, be it for the, before I even said yes, of course, to evaluate the personal circumstances,
your
family commitments, etc., and also to look into the organization in terms of the assessment, how ready the organization was, because I inherited it.
Right.
And the next one is actually to evaluate the industry, whether you know, there's actually a reasonable, how it is, expectations to say that, you know, in 3 years' time, we are going to be there.
Oh.
All these factors we have to really look into to make sure that nothing is unrealistic about what I was getting myself into, right? So, it was, and I must say that I was very honored to have that trust, mm-hmm. that opportunity. And I must thank my two ministers at that point of time. First, my current minister of health, Dato' Sri S. Subramaniam. And also, at that point of time, I also had another minister as a boss, which Dato' Sri Wahid Omar, or now Tan Sri Wahid Omar. So, both of them were actually very transparent me when it comes to the expectations. And then because of that, I was able to size up whether, you know, this is something that I can deliver in the next 3 years once I take on the job. And then after that, when I went in, it was very important for me to have a very strong team that would be able to help me develop that.
Of course.
Right, you know, and carrying the Malaysian flag, because this is not like a private company, or it's this is not a public listed company, it's not even a GLC, you actually carry the brand of Malaysia Healthcare. Uh-huh. You know, you carry a Malaysian flag everywhere, so the shoulders are...
You're going to mess with that.
You don't want to be portraying anything wrong. So it's very heavy on my shoulders, I must say, but I like the challenge because as a person, I always believe that Malaysia has a lot of potential. And as a person as well, I always believe that, you know, if, in whatever that we do, what inspired me is that we have to make a difference in this world.
Yes, we do.
And what better way to make a difference than making a difference to your own country and the own people.
Definitely.
And in healthcare some more. Yeah. Healthcare affects every Malaysian.
Yes.
And, you know, even though that we are in the, how would I say, industry of medical tourism, people would say that, oh, okay, these are for foreigners, not for Malaysians. But many Malaysians are not aware that, you know, with the growth of the medical tourism industry, the hospitals are also reinvesting in better quality healthcare.
Definitely.
Yes. And, you know, the doctors have more case mix, so the doctors will be better at it. And the hospitals are going to be open to more reinvestments because then, you know, the economies of scales are coming through. So it's actually helping Malaysia's healthcare system to be better. Not to mention that it also contributes to the economy in a greater scale.
Right.
So talking about making a difference, I was so inspired by that. And I said, you know, okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, let's get on board.
Let's go. And look at where we are now. I mean, Malaysia so far received numerous awards, recognized by the International Medical Travel Journal as a destination of the year, best country in the world for healthcare by International Living for three consecutive years, 2015, 2016, and this year. And I'm sure there's a lot of work that goes behind it. And would you say it was a difficult journey to actually create awareness and communicating MHTC's achievement to the public and making sure that everyone are in line towards making this happen? What would you say, was it a difficult journey, or are you still in the process of making it happen? What's your thoughts?
Okay, Sophia, I think in anything that we do, it's a long journey.
It is.
Yeah, and you have a lot of milestones along the way. Mm-hmm, even though we have targets, you know, that target will soon grow into another bigger target, right?
A bigger one,
yeah,
right?
It keeps growing and growing every day. So the way I do it is that it has to be a achievable, bite-sized milestones and targets that you have to set along the way. Otherwise, you know, it will be too far and too far off for people to even appreciate what your targets
so
were going to be.
Streamlining is very important.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, for example, when you say that we want to be the destination of choice, so what do we need to do along the way, and what kind of targets do we need to set so that everyone, not only the MHTC team, but we have with us 78 medical centres and facilities who are our members, and these are the ones who are actually delivering the care to the patients.
Right.
Not MHTC per se. You know, we are more the facilitators, we are more the enablers that make it easier for the hospitals to promote their services abroad. So looking at all those factors, we need to make sure, the first thing that we did was that, you know, when we have assessed the situation of the industry, etc., we actually did a plan that is achievable and, you know, achievable and also, how would I say, solid enough, simple and solid, so that we can actually get them executed effectively along the way. And one among the first thing that we did was relooked at our own team.
Of course.
You know?
But by the way, to start by looking into your scope first, right? Making sure it's solid enough.
Exactly. So that we did a lot of organizational changes, but the key thing for us was to actually look into setting up an objective that everyone could relate to. Mm-hmm. And when everyone has the same targets, the same objective, then you can rally all of you know, the organization into one direction.
Right.
And after that, we get all the other hospitals on board. But one of the key things that the then we did was that creating awareness amongst Malaysians themselves. Mm. If I didn't know about Malaysia being a medical travel destination before I joined MHTC, then I'm sure there are many out there who didn't know that Malaysia is even a place to consider when you have friends or families abroad who wanted to get treatment. You know, maybe people think about quickly, oh, maybe Singapore or maybe India or whatever, but yeah. You know, or UK or Germany. But what about Malaysia when we have such potential? And people also didn't know that we have been recognized as the country with the best healthcare in the world mm-hmm. by the International Living United States.
Yeah.
It's not that we are short sendiri, you know, it's actually done at a global level, and we have been recognized as the top three before 2015. Mm-hmm. And then 2015, 16 and 17, we won the first place as the country with the best healthcare system in the world.
Wow.
With that, it was a lot easier for us to uh-huh. start selling Malaysia as a destination for healthcare.
Right.
You know they have the quality uh-huh. and then what we do is that we start educating the Malaysians so that they can become ambassadors to their families and friends. And then we started connecting with all our partners abroad, and we started also connecting with Malaysians abroad so they can help promote for us. And we got serious in terms of creating a solid structure
right.
for the industry as well. And that's how we get recognized as the destination of choice by mm-hmm. International Medical Travel Journal based in London. So we won in 2015 in London, we won 2016 in Madrid, and recently we won in Croatia. So that's 3 years in a row. And knowing that we were going against the big names of the destinations of the world, you know, like even Jordan, India, Dubai. So when you win this kind of recognition, it mm-hmm. brings Malaysia's name to that level.
Yeah.
You know, to a much higher level. Yeah. So
yeah.
then now we are recognized as a country with a world-class healthcare, with the affordability mm-hmm. and competitiveness in pricing, and accessibility that people from all the part of the world can actually come to Malaysia because our strategic locations, our connectivity, and also the fact that our doctors are accessible
uh-huh.
at almost 24 hours of the day.
Yeah.
So, we have a lot to offer, and it's not, the credit is just not to MHTC. The credit is about how we actually manage to harness everyone in the industry to come together and
move together towards
that one objective of bringing Malaysia to as the destination of choice.
I mean, just you putting us, going through the years of your accomplishments and recently being number one in 2015, 16 and 17, might have you come a long way, isn't it?
Yes, we believe so.
Yeah. So with that being said, Shireen, I would like to understand your perspective as well, being as a power woman, because obviously you have to be as driven to bring, the sale of the whole organization towards a greater height. So I want to know more about you. So we're going to take a short little break for our listeners to actually sit back, relax, and anticipate on what we're going to know more about you later on, Shireen. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I'm speaking to the Chief Executive Officer of the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council, Ms. Shireen Azli. This is once again W Talk on Tracks, Tracks FM.
Discover the legend of Raja Bersiong. Tracks FM 91.7, Paling Kedah.
Women. Empowering. Inspire. Motivates to achieve their goals. W Talk on Tracks. I woke up with a fear this morning, but I can taste you on the tip of my tongue. Alarm without no warning, you're by my side and we've got smoke in our lungs. Last night we were way up, kissing in the back of the cab, and then you say, love, baby, let's go back to my flat. And when we wake up, never had a feeling like that. I got a reason, so man, put that record on again. I don't wanna hear sad songs anymore, I'm
not proud, but I'm usually the type of girl that would hit and run. No risk, so I think I'm all in. When I kiss your lips through my heart beat thump. And now we're way up, dancing on the roof of the house. And then we make love right there on your best friend's couch. And then you say, love, this is what it's all about. So keep on kissing my mouth and put that good on again. I don't wanna hear sad songs anymore.
Tuning into Tracks Momentum, and today's special segment is W Talk on Tracks, your weekly women's talk show. Right now I have still with me Ms. Shireen Azli, Chief Executive Officer of the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. Now, we've talked about, you know, how MHTC has aced in many ways, bringing our Malaysian flag out there, and obviously led by a really wonderful person like yourself. You're very driven. I mean, I can feel it already. Just sitting down with you for the past 15 minutes, there's a lot of energy that has to go behind all this, you know, encouragement that you have. So, juggling your career roles, a mother, a wife, having your family, everything in place, and making sure that your organization is also acing as well. How do you handle it? How do you handle the stress? How do you make sure that you yourself do not lose focus, and making sure that you're always on the ball, which is not easy to do because most people would probably, you know, lose their way halfway through. But how do you maintain your composure in that sense, Shireen?
Thanks, Sophia. For me personally, I think it's very important, first and foremost, that you start whatever you do with the right intention. I always say that, you know, right now, why too is very important. Mm-hmm. So why, for example, why do I get into this job? What do, you know, for what? So personally, for me, it's very important that I know I got in this job. I know the expectations. I have amanah to deliver. And with that, you know, it's always that, Once I get into something, the nawaitu is always karena Allah. Mm. It's for Allah. And then also, I hope with that, you know, I hope that He will guide me in doing the right things along the way. To be honest, that takes a lot of stress off.
Oh, wow, does it?
Because when you believe in something, when you have, how would I say, greater being that you trust in, I think that first of all, gives the ground, the strong foundation for me. Second is about go and you know, a belief in making that difference. You know, if I go into this job and I know that, you know, I can make certain difference to the people around me, to the country, to the economy, to the society. Mm-hmm. And what's more, how would I say, inspiring is the fact that, you know, there are a lot of people outside Malaysia, even in ASEAN region, who do not have access to healthcare, to good quality healthcare.
Very true.
And there are a lot of people who need to be able to have this, you know, good doctors, good facilities, good hospitals, knowing that they will be better mm-hmm. after coming to Malaysia. And the big factor is also the fact that it doesn't cost them a bomb. Mm. You know, like, you don't want to be coming when you're sick and then you are drained of your lifetime savings and stuff like that. So being able to open up the access to good quality healthcare to this group of people and make them feel better after, you know, they come to Malaysia and get this treatment, that's, for me, is a big achievement in making a difference in other people's lives.
Of course.
Maybe not to the extent of how an NGO will be able to do it, you know, pro bono or free of charge, but at least Malaysia has the quality healthcare, the world-class healthcare at a very affordable rate. Mm. You know, you go to other countries around the region, you have to pay three times more.
Of course.
Yeah, so that opens up to a lot more capabilities or even access to other people who really needs to have that healthcare. And in doing so, it helps Malaysian economy. It creates jobs for people. It opens up, you know, more entrepreneurship along the value chain that you see that, you know, for tourism, you have the travel agents, you have the facilitators, you have the hotels, even the Airbnbs or the budget hotels. And you know that it creates a lot of opportunities for entrepreneurs and for the young ones as well, you know, with new jobs creation, etc. You know, it's expected with every R1 spent in the hospitals in Malaysia in medical tourism is another R3 spent outside in the ancillary services. That's a lot into the economy. It was expected last year with about 1.12 billion in revenue for the hospitals. There are another additional 3 to 4 billion impact to the economy. That's about 5 billion in total. By 2020, we expect to have, you know, about close to 15 billion total impact to the economy. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And
huge.
That's, again, helping to make a difference. So yes. With that belief, I sort of jump in. But the key things for me is this third one. The last but not least, but this is very important. Mm. Support system.
Support system.
Very strong support system.
Yeah.
And I meant not only from the family, but also from the MHTC family. Both at work and at home.
Mm.
You know, I travel a lot for this job, right? And it's always funny when I travel. Sometimes I travel alone and I ended up in some place and someone got into a conversation with me. The first thing you say, wow, you have achieved quite a lot. You're still young, you know, you're CEO and everything, you know. So are you single?
Wow.
And I went, no, I've got a family. I've got two two teenagers, boys, and they are, you know, they are brilliant and they are amazing. And they said, oh, you mean you're a single mom?
It's funny.
Yeah.
Society has that perception still when it comes to power women.
And this is actually not just in Malaysia. This is outside. And this particular conversation happened in Japan.
Yes,
you know.
Okay.
So, and I said, no, I have a husband, you know, and I still have parents, and I have very big, you know, extended family.
I've got a good social life.
Yes,
still.
Yeah, you know, and So these are my support system. These are very strong support system. Blessings from my husband, blessing from my parents-in-law, and the fact that my kids also appreciate what we are doing and how it's impacting the whole thing, you know, and they're very proud of what we do, MHTC, and also what I do as their mom, their wife, and their daughter. That's very important. And to throw a little bit, when I go to the Middle East, then they would say that, you know, oh, you still have a husband. I said, yes. Are you sure your husband doesn't have a second one or a third one?
Oh, wow, that's...
Yes, that's the kind of...
Oh, that's quite intrusive.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like that's the kind of stigma that they have when it comes for women CEOs or women leaders.
Or in the board of directors.
But, you know, I found it's like... They don't appreciate what women are able to do with a strong support system. And another thing is that when it comes to the office, you know, the team at work, you know, a leader is only as good as the team.
Of course.
You know, you don't have a strong team, you're kaput.
Yeah. As good as you think you are, if you don't have a team supporting you, that's it.
Yeah. So then, you know, the team at work, that I spent in the, I think I must say, say, in the first 6 months coming into the organization, that's what we spend a lot of time in.
Okay.
Building a strong team, you know, make sure that they appreciate, you know, that they have the same objective, the same values.
Mm.
That's very important. And the same aspiration. Values are very important. For example, for me, it's very important to have a balance when it comes to family and work. So the first thing I did, and I think the second month of coming on into the job, is I said, flexi hours for everyone. So you
wow.
come in 8 to 5, 9 to 6, or 10 to 7.
I'm going
to
work with you after this.
So right. then, you know, that really... Because when you give that flexibility, people don't waste time in the traffic jam, right?
Yeah.
And so that takes a lot of stress off from your friends and from your family in the workplace, right?
Mm.
That's one. And then after 6 months, I think we announced that, you know, flexi workplace. We don't really care where you work at as long as you get the deliveries delivered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you have this kind of facility, support system,
right.
infrastructure, then, you know, you see people actually increasing their productivity.
Of course.
Because, you know, you take a lot of stress. If your child is sick, you can still work from home without having to worry that, my God, you know, I need to take MC and everything. And you have that guilt. You know, you don't need to have that guilt feeling all the time. You can be with your children and work at the same time.
Right.
Just get it delivered. And I think and with the clear KPI and clear expectations at every level, that is possible.
Wow.
Of course, you still have to have the monitoring,
uh-huh.
but that's possible. But you're expected to be in meetings when you're expected to be in the meetings.
Of
you
course.
Know? So we only do our meetings from 10 to 5, where mm-hmm. everyone is in the office. So then the others are free to have that flexibility. I work late nights, but I don't work late nights at the office. I leave very early, but I work at home when all the dinner is done or whatever. And I know that if I do that, I'm sure that there are other people who would appreciate that kind of flexibility as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think with those kind of support system, I mean, the infrastructure that you lay for them, you actually have stronger support system in every angle.
Right.
And what's more important for us is as well, you actually, we realize that we appeal to a lot more ladies to come
right,
on board.
Right.
Strong ladies, you know, very smart, very driven, you know, and they believe in what they do because they are allowed to have that balance.
Right, you're allowed to juggle the best that they can.
Yes.
And you obviously attract this very strong, powerful women who are really driven in what they do.
Yeah, so, but maybe limited to, you know, before this they were limited because of these constraints.
Of course. So how is it like working with an all-women team when it comes to productivity, the relationship between each other? Because let's all face it, sometimes working you know, among women and women, it can get kind of, you know, tricky sometimes. I mean, generally all workplace problems, I guess, is a norm. But how do you manage expectations, everyone having their own time to work, time with the family? Was it an easy feat to begin with, or how do you think, how is it like now?
Okay, let me be honest with you.
Right,
when you attract strong women.
Mm-hmm.
Another word that people used to call us, you
uh-huh.
know, these strong women, divas.
Oh,
right.
Gee, okay.
Yeah. So uh-huh. I don't take it negatively.
Right.
Fine, you want to call us divas or whatever, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But reality is that, you know, they have strengths. Each of these women.
Wow.
They have their own strengths. And the thing is, if you can harness that strength
mm-hmm.
into one single belief in
right.
what we are able to do
to cultivate.
Together,
uh-huh.
yeah, together, the results will be amazing.
Wow.
It takes time because you will have personalities clashing. You will have, but what you need to do is bring them together and make them understand that, hey, we are going to the same destination, you know.
We're
and
in
you
it
have,
together.
Yeah, we're in this together. And the thing is, the first thing that I did was I took the whole company to go and watch Hola Bola.
Oh,
the film Hola Bola. And we actually did an outing, company outing to New
nice.
Central and watched it together.
It's a good show.
Yeah, because one thing I believe is that Hola Bola teamwork. It's just amazing, the belief. And when one of the things I keep repeating to my team, kita menang sama-sama.
Oh, wow.
So you can't win alone. You know, you can be like...
There's no such thing.
Yeah, that strong personality. You can be wonderful, wondrous, or whatever. You know, but at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do as a person.
Correct.
But as a team, you can do wonderful things, amazing things, and incredible things.
Mm.
And but the thing is, when we talk about the all-management team, all-women management team, it's not the company is not all women. The company, we have good diversity, but it's just the management team. You know, we have seven of us, all seven ladies. That was not by design. That was by merit. To be honest, I spent the first year of in the organization cultivating diversity in my management team, which means that I actually interviewed so many men.
Okay.
And we got one man into the management team, but I know he didn't last very long with us because his passion was in the film industry. He didn't find healthcare something that he wanted to do.
Okay.
But then we started looking again for men. But at the end of the day, I asked myself, why do we have to find men just for the sake of diversity when I know that there are women in front of me who are as capable, if not more,
yes,
in delivering that. Yeah. So this is how we ended up with seven women management team.
Wow.
You know, so but it's been amazing for us.
I'm
and
sure.
And what I love is that now it feels more like a family, because we feel that everyone, we have our differences, we have shouting matches and everything, we do have that, you
okay.
know.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, everyone will come back together and agree to disagree and work towards one common goal. And that's more important, and I think that sets the tone for the organization as well.
Right. I mean, the sense of belonging to begin with, I'm sure, because we've gone through ups and downs together, and I'm sure there are many companies out there, like you mentioned earlier on, tries to adopt like infrastructure structures such as flexible work hours, work from wherever you want, but not many companies are able to, synchronize everything together in one working condition for everyone. So the fact that you're able to do it, MHTC is able to do it when it comes to the management and whatnot, which is, I think, a very inspiring thing for all other companies out there, because obviously it's created so much productivity within and among you. Now, speaking for as a leader, helming in the leadership role, do you think many other Malaysian women are afraid to take up such big responsibilities? Do you think you want to see more women leaders out there? And what do you think would be the struggles or the challenges that they need to embrace and expect upon helming that role itself? What's your thoughts? As a leader yourself, as a CEO, you've seen it all. What would be your advice?
Thank you for the recognizing what we have achieved. That meant a lot for us, actually.
I still nothing but the truth.
It's quite obvious, right?
Yeah.
Maybe the size of the organization is not too big that we can handle the flexi working hours and flexi workplace. So I guess the challenge for a bigger organization would be different, right?
Yes.
But in terms of women leaders, honestly, you know, I believe that there are many women out there who are capable of becoming leaders themselves. And to be honest, I think also opportunities are out there. But the fact that many women are not visible, especially if you're in a big organization. I came from an organization of 30,000 people before I joined MHTC, you know. So in a big organization like 30,000 people, we have many potential leaders, women leaders in the organization, but sometimes they went unnoticed. So without visibility, without access to let's say the top management, their potential may have gone unnoticed.
Right.
So I think this is where, I know that we are pushing for having 30% women quota in board directors and stuff like that. While we appreciate that kind of initiative being put forward, I think it's more important to have women with merit to be able to get up there, and to be able to have women with merit, the grooming is important. How we want to give, develop them to be future leaders is very important.
Right.
I must give the credit to my previous organization in TM, Telecom Malaysia, because when we were younger as students, they already started identifying amongst us who would be the potential leaders, future leaders of the organization.
Wow.
And I spoke, and I'm speaking like this was when I, we first joined perhaps, 18, 20 years ago.
No way.
Yeah, so at that point of time, they were already looking into identifying the future leaders for the organization, because they know that, transformation is
constant.
Yeah. The only constant is change, right? So then they were looking for change agents and stuff like that. So they started grooming us from very early.
Right.
We were scholars of TM. So since scholarship, and then when we graduated, they groomed us, and then they selected out of, few hundred of TM executives, they selected 20 of us as a fast track executives that can be seen to become leaders. And the exposures they gave us were just amazing. So then, you develop as a person, you develop yourself with all the qualities of a future leaders. Mm-hmm. They shape your thinking, the conditioning, and how you actually want to, you know, how you want to handle an organization as big as 30,000. It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. And the fact that, you know, when we were amongst us, recognized to be amongst the fastest top group leadership leaders in the organization, then it shows the success of the development of the leadership grooming, you know, identification. And that helped with the exposure that we had with, you know, direct to the board and everything. That helped to groom us. Right. And, you know, no surprise that, for example, now TM is... I think the first group CFO is a lady, for example. But having said that, you know, they're only, we are still very small in percentage compared to the total group leadership. Like, and we know maybe we only have about 20% out of the full leadership. So more can be done. The same thing is, you know, I learned from that grooming and that conditioning, that's how I hope to implement in the current organization. I wish all the other women leaders could do the same to help other women to grow.
Yes.
Because my KPI is that I have to groom better leaders than me.
Wow.
Personally, and you can ask my team when you meet up with them. They have to be better than I am. When I hire them as well, the management team, they have to be smarter than me in their areas.
Of course.
Because I'm not smart enough to do everything, you know. So they have to be smarter than me. Like, you know, if you have someone in accounting, when it's strategy, everything, they have to be smarter than me.
And we come together, that's when you come.
Yes. Because they also educate me at the same time.
Right.
You know, how do I do everything myself? No time. I want to sleep the 7-8 hours a day.
Right.
I want to have my time with the family 8 hours a day. I still want to go to work 8 hours a day, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So that's the balance that I do. Yeah, and
strive to
with
have.
That, yeah, I think there are a lot more women out there that are, you know, just there and waiting and to be groomed. And even though they strive to grow themselves, but with the help, with the coaching, with the mentoring, you know, they can be really amazing leaders.
Wow.
And more important is that for women to be not selfish.
Not selfish.
No.
That's the key word.
You have to, for you to be more successful, you really have to bring everyone with you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're selfish and if you're afraid of someone taking over your position, then you're already putting that barrier, that restriction to yourself, not only to the people with you, but yourself. And I think that's a key thing that I keep reminding myself. There are a lot of things, I mean, of course we have our shortfalls and stuff like that, but that's where the team comes. They will,
the support system.
Yeah, the ladies in my team will just tell me off if they think that I'm doing something wrong or crap or whatever. Yeah, we may disagree, but you know, by the end of the day, they will tell me. And that's what I appreciate, because you don't know if what you did wrong.
Correct. We can't judge our actions.
We are human, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so I think that's what we totally believe in. And as far as stress is concerned, yeah, I make sure I have enough sleep. I have to sleep 7 hours a day minimum, 8 hours ideally. So a lot of CEOs say they sleep 3 hours, 4 hours.
Nah.
Okay, not me.
Nuh-uh.
I need, because that's where I get all the stress out.
Of course.
And that's also where, when you get up in the morning, my day, when I get up in the morning, okay, after the kids, you know, the kids go to school at 7 o'clock and everything, so see off the kids. The first thing I would do is then start reading emails. That's when I have my quiet time, planning the day, planning what the strategies are, who I would call, what kind of syndication I would have to do, etc. And I will send my emails by then, because I know by the time the team comes in at 9 o'clock, they already get the emails from me.
Right.
So that's, and then after that, I get to the office at 10. I choose the 10 to 7.
Right.
So I get the office at 10, and then the rest of the day, before I come back home, and normally I will have dinner with the kids and the family about, you know, Maghrib time, 8 o'clock. Yeah, so that's, and then homework, oh my God. If you ask me, the biggest challenge is the kids' homework. The challenge in the office is bearable, the challenge with the kids' homework.
Right. Shireen, I have to say this, I wish I could talk to you like longer for the next 2 hours or so, but you know, this short time that I have with you, you are a fantastic person. Keep doing what you're doing, stay
humble.
Thank you
so much.
And you're such a great soul. Thank you for being here today with us on W Talk on Tracks. And before I let you go, any short messages you'd like to convey?
Yeah, it's just that for MHTC, Malaysia Health Travel Council, we are now creating a lot of awareness for Malaysians about medical travel and the potential for the economy.
Yes.
So we have our campaign now, Share My Love. Share My Love. You can go to our www.mylovesyou, mylovesyou.com, and you can have the details. With the, there's a competition. You can win. Cameras and stuff like that, and go into that website. And also, we have our upcoming Insight 2017 conference on the 26th to 27th of September at the Connection Bangsa South, where we are going to share the insights into medical travel industry for Malaysia, the potential of the markets around ASEAN and our target regions like China and India as well. And you know, how, if you're interested to become a player in that whole end-to-end ecosystem, you might be able to learn a thing or two when it comes to what you can do and how you can start building a business or grow your business. And we seek, you know, we encourage everyone to come in and join us at that conference. You can register online at our website, mhtc.org.my.
Beautiful.
So, and thank you again for the opportunity to share what we do with you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us here in W Talk on Tracks with my producer, Friska Freddy. And thank you so much, Shereen Azli, for joining me today. I hope to see you again and keep doing what you're doing. Make us proud, okay?
Yes. And thank you so much for your support. Really appreciate it.
Right. With that note, I'm wrapping up the second hour of the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I was talking to Shereen Azli, the Chief Executive Officer of the Malaysia Healthcare Travel Council. She is definitely one inspiring woman. I hope she inspires you as well. I'll be leaving you with Pharrell while we welcome the new